Being joined now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. He is former Packers offensive lineman Mike Wall. Mike, thanks for coming on, buddy. How are you?
Buddy, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so let's before we get to the St. Juice bit there, I want to talk a little bit about this offensive line, because when the Packers announced the signing of Sean Ryan, I tweeted out and said, pretty much I refer to Mike Wall and what he thinks. I thought originally, you know, I said this yesterday, that maybe that was a little too expensive. Then I saw the Linderbaum deal and said, never mind, I'm good. I'm fine with what they gave Sean Ryan, because that Linderbaum deal was crazy. Your thoughts on Sean Ryan and what you saw from him on film at that center position by the end of the year, and, you know, your thoughts on the deal.
So, like I tweeted you back, Sparky, totally fair deal. You just got to remember that the salary cap's over $300 million, and I think I was under the impression he was going to look for $23 million, not $27 million. So, congratulations to him. We have the same agent, my agent, Neil Cornish, amazing, best agent in the business for a reason. But Sean Ryan, look, he's an ascending player, and people may or may not want to hear that, but the reality is he got better as the season went on at the center position. I thought he did some good things at right guard as well, but I think he's naturally fit for a center. He has really tight and clean footwork, plays with good leverage, plays with a chip on his shoulder. You know, the big question of that position is always your ability to communicate with the rest of the offensive line and make calls. If he's proven in on the field and in the meeting rooms he's able to do that, then I think from a Packers standpoint, they got to be really happy with not only where they're at the center position, but kind of economically where that contract is and allows them to go out and get some other free agents.
You know, the other part about this is this offensive line. They decided to bring back Kennard on a one-year deal, which obviously makes sense to have that swing tackle at this point. When you put these five guys together with Jordan Morgan at left tackle, and then Banks, they restructure with Ryan in the middle, and then Belton going into his second year, and then Tom on the right side. Realistically, like, how much time does this group need to really hit its stride once we start getting into next season?
Well, so if you look at those five players, you've got kind of three guys that you have a pretty good idea that they can play. So Aaron Banks showed it by the end of the year that he can play football at a pretty good clip in this league at left guard. Sean Ryan, we just spoke about, and then obviously Zach Tom, you have really a really high ceiling on. I think he's one of the better right tackles in the league. You do have questions on, you know, where is Belton going to be next year going into, you know, second year in the NFL at a new position. Does get the entire offseason, to prepare to play exclusively right guard, so I think that's going to help a lot. You like his physical profile. You like his demeanor. Think he's going to take a big jump, but you never know. And then Jordan Morgan, being the first-round pick, being, you know, handed that spot, I know he had a productive preseason, I think, last year at the left tackle position. Yep. A lot of people were excited about it. But the reality is you've had a good, not great Green Bay Packers left tackle for the last couple of years in Walker. Obviously, before that, with Bakhtiari and Chad Clifton, one of my teammates, you're talking about elite guys. So I think maybe Rashawn Walker gets a little bit of a swift kick, you know, because he's being compared to some all-time great Green Bay Packer players. But that's a position where, you know, you got to go out and prove it. And I think those two guys, you know, this line's probably going to go as far as those two guys improved during the offseason.
Goody was asked, I think it was at the NFL Draft Combine or at the season-ending press conference. I get him confused. But one of those two places about the idea of, you know, was it intentional to get bigger and more physical up front? And he pretty much said, yeah, that's kind of the way of the league right now. Now, again, when they were doing this last offseason, you and I were having the conversation of it feels like they're trying to become Philly and really emphasize on pushing people out of the way and running that football more effectively. You never really saw that per se last year with this offensive line. Do you think it finally evolves into that?
Well, that probably starts with, listen, I think in combination blocks, backside blocking, Aaron Banks really kind of stood out to me as somebody who's doing a really excellent job towards the last maybe 2 months of the season in that specific category. That's an important part of kind of moving people off the spot when you start talking about inside running, duo plays, inside zone. Sean Ryan, you know, he's got work to do, but he's a guy that wants to be a physical player. He certainly has the body movement and the kind of the loaded hip mechanics to do that. I think as far as what you're going to get out of that line, you start looking at that right guard position. Belton is purpose-built for doing exactly that. He just has to get his technique in order, footwork, hand placement, et cetera, so that he can kind of realize all the power he has in those hips and put it through the ground, put it through that defender. If they do that, they're going to have a lot of success, I think, on that interior stuff, because you already know Zach Thompson can cut off the football. He can run backside, inside, outside, whatever you want. And then, again, Sparky, I hate to be a broken record. It goes back to, is Jordan Morgan going to be able to come off the ball with any kind of, you know, violence? And is Anthony Belton going to be able to take that big jump in year two? If they can do that, these other guys are more than capable of moving people off the spot. Are they like Philly? I think that's a stretch because they've had some really good offensive lines over the last couple of years. But this is a very competent group if those two guys step up.
Time with Mike Wall, former Packer offensive lineman. Follow him on X at MikeWall68. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. How much development did you see as far as guys getting better throughout the course of the year? Because there has been some people that don't understand how Luke Butkus is still here as offensive line coach and are a little confused by that fact that it's been that case. But you are an offensive lineman. You watch all the film. How much development did you see last year from these guys?
Yeah, you know, you don't want to throw people under the bus. It's a tough question. I think, because you look at Aaron Banks, he obviously came in, he was injured, he's been playing in the league for a number of years, he's a high-paid guy, he got better at the end of the year, you kind of expect that. Sean Ryan is a former tackle, moves to center, you expect him to pick up some of that because he's going to have good footwork. Some of those other guys, I'm not so sure about Sparky, and you know, that, look, there's a lot of different reasons that you don't get better during the season. It's not just because of what your position coach is doing. I think the onus ultimately falls onto the professional to make sure that they're doing what is required to get better. When you have a young group, maybe those guys don't know exactly what that is and what that looks like. And that's why guys like Elgton Jenkins are actually so valuable for a team, because they can kind of point you in the right direction as veteran leaders. But it's hard for me to sit here and say that you like the technique. I mean, I spend all my time working on technique with these guys, some of the peer group of the Green Bay Packers offensive line, and I'm not thrilled with their body positions into contact, their technique, their hand placement, et cetera. Like, you don't really like what you see for a majority of the reps, so you'd like to see that improve during the offseason and then carry through to the regular season next year.
Schematically, are they running what you would suggest they run with what they have up front?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because there's just so many different things that you're able to do in Matt LaFleur's offense. And a lot of that stuff, when you talk about like the Shanahan tree, basing it off the outside zone, I think there's just certain plays last year, and a lot of it was because of the right guard position, that just gave you some difficulty that you just don't expect to have happen in 2026, 2027. Particularly, you start talking about like the crossbody offset running back going to like the outside zone to the right, where, you know, the right guard kept getting beat and being putting the running back in bad positions. It's difficult with this group because you've got a guy like Zach Tom who can really do anything, but the reality is he's under 310 pounds. He's not a massive mauler type guy. So you kind of look at him and you go, listen, the outside zone, the toss crack, he's good at double teams, but, you know, as far as inline drive blocking, you know, that's probably number four in the things he does best. And you just start, you know, building out from there. You think the outside zone stuff's probably what's good for Jordan Love in the play action game, what's good for Josh Jacobs. You know, obviously it's a really fun offense to watch because it gives defenses such difficulties. So I think you're probably going to see a little bit more of that this year, but you really got to shore up the interior offensive line, particularly those two guard spots, to make sure they can cover up that three technique and not give up penetration.
Do you think, now this isn't just a Packer-specific question, this is just a general question regarding the National Football League and front offices in general. Do you think NFL teams put enough thought into building an offensive line and what meshes well and what works well with the guys on that offensive line to the scheme that they want to run versus the strengths and weaknesses of each player on the line that they already have?
That's a great question. I can tell you that I've been in a bunch of different rooms, Sparky, and it just depends what organization you're talking about. Some people are very thoughtful. It depends how much they value the opinion of the offensive line coach. Obviously, where that offensive coordinator sits, and as far as what he thinks is important in his offense, is it scheme or is it the people running the scheme? Listen, I've been in rooms where you're just going like, why would you even be looking at that player? He doesn't do anything well that you run, and it doesn't matter because they fall in love with his 40 time, his vertical jumper, his bench press. He had one good play on tape. So, and, you know, they don't really. And the other thing is too, a lot of the scouts they're looking at just physical attributes. They don't really look at footwork, technique, kind of body positioning, and so they don't understand how that's going to translate necessarily to these different techniques. Like, for example, Sparky, running an outside zone, the first two steps of that take a pretty high level of athleticism to be in the right hip-loaded body position, to not cross over, to be able to hit somebody and strike on an angle and keep them on an angle. You know, once you get the moving, it's relatively easy, but that those first two initial steps and body position is really difficult. If you bring the wrong kind of guy in, and I'm not talking about because of arm length or like body height. If you bring a guy in who can't bend or just isn't that athletic, that's just going to be a tall order. And I don't know that, again, every organization takes that into consideration.
Talking with Mike Wall, former Packers offensive lineman, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. There's been some conversation on social media right now looking at the talent that is no longer on this Packers roster versus the limited amount of guys that have been brought in, and some speculation of, man, maybe this isn't going to be as talented of a Packers team in 26 as it was in 25. What do you think of the Packers offseason so far? Knowing, obviously, there's still a draft to come.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know who you're talking about specifically. I think about, you get rid of Quay Walker, you bring in Zaire Franklin. I feel pretty good about that. I mean, I like both players, but I feel pretty good about it. Obviously, losing Wooten just is another loss in the defensive tackle room over the last 2 years that you have to replace. I don't know if that's going to be signing a major defensive nose tackle or some sort of pass rush specialist. I'm not sure, but obviously, looking at defensive line, that's a hole that you have to plug, probably with multiple guys. And I'm not talking about just draft picks, or hopefully not just draft picks. I think the hard thing is a lot of the players that have left, Rashawn Gary, like his time had come. Elgin Jenkins, his time had come. I mean, we can sit and talk about how good they've been for the Packers in certain situations or certain years, but they didn't really contribute to the team last year, and they have huge cap numbers. That's just a reality of football and reality of getting older, unfortunately. So I do think that the Packers are being very smart in the guys that are leaving the building right now. Because they're getting, in the Wooten case, they got something back in return. And then in these other cases, I don't know how much they're going to help the team versus, like Nate Hobbs leaves, they bring in the kid from the Chargers. Both guys are slotted as backups going into the season next year, and one of them makes four times as much as the other. Like, that's a smart move to me. So we'll have to wait and see what they do in the draft. I'm sure they've got some more moves, or perhaps, take a couple more bites at the apple here in free agency, but so far, I think it's a pretty smart, another smart offseason for Goody.
And St. Juice, a boundary corner, and it doesn't appear Hobbs really is a boundary corner either, and he couldn't stay healthy last year. Mike, the other thing, just quickly, if you don't mind, I'm going to vent a little bit. When I saw Khalif Raymond from the Lions, who, again, is a returner on special teams and a wide receiver, go to the Bears, knowing this Packers team desperately needs a returner, I just shook my head. I'm like, Goody keeps saying, oh, we're trying. And yes, the guys they've signed, the linebackers and so forth that they brought in, Welch and Eamon and these guys, okay, yeah, fine. These guys are for special teams. But until they can find a legitimate returner, I just don't know how that changes.
I would say here's what drives me insane. And listen, all the respect in the world for Keyshawn Nixon for wanting to be a starting corner in the National Football League, right? But Devin Hester could have played defense too. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. It's like, if you're an all-pro at returner, sometimes I'm just like, why don't we just stick to keeping the all-pro at returner and let him do his thing? It's a difficult spot because there's so many considerations on what kind of body type you want to bring in and how many specialists you want to have on the roster for your 53-man or your game day roster. It's a difficult deal. I don't know what it is about the Packers special teams over the last forever, where you just can't break, like, you know, the top 15 in the National Football League, despite bringing guys in like Bisaccia, besides having an all-pro like Nixon. It just is very perplexing. I've said this before. I just don't know how much of that is lip service and then how much, you know, time, not only time and thinking about and preparing for in the draft and free agency for bringing in personnel, Sparky, but also, and this is the thing that I've really questioned over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, is how much time in the building or how much respect or how much attention is given to being really special at special teams. You know, how long are those meetings? How many guys are they allowed to use? How many live reps are we getting in practice? I just don't know the answer to that, because they certainly haven't been, you know, they just don't perform at the level that you expect given how good other aspects of the team are.
Mike Wall, former Packers offensive lineman. Follow him on X at MikeWall68. I know you recorded a couple of podcasts yesterday, Mike, didn't you?
Well, I did one. Listen, people ask me questions, and then I just get bored, and I figure out how to answer them all at one time. So I put out a block party yesterday with a lot of the stuff we're talking about right now. Sparky, you can check that out on YouTube on our Process to Perform channel. Yeah, I don't know if I'll do any more. I don't really follow the draft too much. I've been forced to follow the draft the last couple of years because I know that it's part of the NFL life cycle now. But I remember when I was playing, it was like you lost the game, you had the team meeting. I drove overnight to the West Coast and I just lifted for like 4 or 5 months straight and came back and played football again. And I didn't really think about much anything else. So I haven't changed too much in the last 30 years, unfortunately.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Mike, I appreciate you coming on like always, buddy. Have a good rest of your week.
All right, now.